you my heart, and I tried to make you happy, and you gave me nothing in return. You know it ain't so hard to say, but would you please just go away?
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning, 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. All you got to do is text me, and I'll do my best to respond to whatever it is that's on your mind. So to come on the program, Joey Clark in about an hour, and then Parker Griffith at the 11 o'clock hour. Joining us now, however, he's your state auditor. He's running for Secretary of State. Andrew Sorrell joins us on the line. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Hello. Good to be with you, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for hopping on. Let's talk about, let's kick it off with this. Your pledge, you put it out there a couple of days ago. Wanted to get you on to talk about it. Your decision to, I guess call for a clean campaign, or walk us through it a little bit.
Yeah, I've challenged my opponent to what I call the clean campaign pledge, which basically just says you're going to run a clean, fair campaign. You're not going to engage in the dirty, negative attacks, the mudslinging. You're not going to, you know, have other like third parties do it on your behalf. And you're going to encourage all your supporters to be positive. I think, you know, me and my opponent are running to be Alabama's chief elections official. And I think it's incumbent upon us to set an example for other political campaigns on how they should run in Alabama. And I don't believe in negative campaigning. I never have. I've never done it. When I ran for auditor, I had four opponents in the primary, and I had one opponent in the general. And when I ran for state legislature, I had one opponent in the primary and a Democrat in the general. And you can ask all of them, including the Democrat. I've never gone negative. I talk about myself, my qualifications, the reasons I want to serve, and what I want to accomplish if I win. And I leave it at that. And I hope that my opponent will agree to do the same.
Well, it's been out there a little bit. Have you heard from your opponent?
I have not. No, I sent her a text message the day that we dropped it. I haven't gotten a response back. But look, we're giving a little bit of time to digest it. But, I mean, it should be an easy answer. It's you know, you shouldn't really have to think much about this. Are you going to run a clean campaign or not? And that's what we're asking, and we're waiting a response.
Well, and kind of define clean campaign for us, if you would, because I mean, I think it's a very subjective definition, depending on, you know, what is fair and what isn't fair.
Well, let's talk about the issues. So if you want to say, and we can talk about each other's records. So for instance, if she were to find something in my voting record, some bill that I voted against that was going to, you know, help some group or whatnot, she could say, Andrew Sorrell voted against this bill. Well, that would be fair. I mean, that's public record, is voting record. And I don't mind defending my record. As you know, I was ranked the most conservative legislator in Alabama 3 out of the 4 years that I served in the legislature, which was from 2018 to 2022. So I would consider all of that in bounds. If we want to have vigorous policy debate, great, let's do it. I don't think anyone's going to have a stronger platform on election integrity than I will. If she wants to, you know, come out and say that I don't know that Andrew's, you know, qualify. Here are my qualifications versus hers. I consider all of that in bounds. What I don't consider in bounds is just mudslinging. And I think everyone in Alabama knows the difference, honestly.
Well, is it typical of these kinds of races? And you and I talked about this. You know, a lot of focus is on the top of the ticket. We got a competitive Senate race, likely a competitive lieutenant gubernatorial race, and then the AG race always. And there's a, you know, and all of these other races are going to be, I would argue are probably going to be more front and center than Secretary of State. Not that it's a down ballot race like auditor, as we were talking about yesterday, but I mean, is this something you really think is a concern?
Well, this is something that I've proposed to all of my opponents in the past. I've never done it publicly before. I've always done it in person. I remember when I won my primary for state legislature back in May, or I think it was June of 2018. And I happened to bump into my Democrat opponent who had just qualified, you know, a couple months earlier. I had maybe had only met him one time before, but I said, look, I'm the nominee. You're going to be the Democrat nominee. And I bumped into him at the Helen Keller Festival, and I went over to his tent, and I said, I just want to know, are you planning to run a clean campaign or not? He said, I am. Are you? And I said, yes, I am. And I said, I will not attack you unless you attack me. And he said, well, same here. And to his credit, he did not. He was an honorable Democrat. wasn't sure those existed, but there are still a few of them out there, apparently, including my opponent in 2018. And the same thing with, you know, I had some really classy guys I was running against when I ran for state auditor. I ran against Rusty Glover from down there in Mobile. Rusty's a stand-up guy. You know, if I lived in that state Senate district, I'd probably be voting for Rusty right now. Stan Cook, you know, Stan Cook's a pastor. He didn't engage in any dirty mudslinging. So I've always done this. I've just never done this in such a public manner before. But I've also never run for such a high-profile race before. And, you know, you said Secretary of State is down ballot. I would classify it as mid-ballot. It used to be down ballot maybe 10 years ago. But after the 2020 elections and after Donald Trump got the election, frankly, just stolen from him, I think the level of interest in this campaign is through the roof. I'll tell you that it's a whole lot easier to raise money for Secretary of State than it was state auditor. The donors are fired up about it. People care who their Secretary of State is. When I was running for state auditor, the number one question I got asked is, what does the state auditor do? Well, nobody has asked me, what does the Secretary of State do? Everybody knows the Secretary of State runs the elections in Alabama, and you don't have to sell them on the importance of the position and why they need the right person in that office.
So this is really more, I suppose, a product of just the profile of the office and your decision not to go do this sort of behind the scenes, but do it publicly is just because you see the Secretary of State office being more prominent. I mean, why wouldn't you just do this without a big splash?
No, I think it is because it's more prominent, and I think it would be good because we're running for the chief elections official spot. I think this is a great opportunity for both me and my opponent to just clear the air publicly and say we're going to engage in positive campaigning, and we encourage every other candidate in Alabama to do that. I think if people showed some leadership and did that, I mean, especially if we both agreed to it, that'd be a wonderful thing for Alabama. I think that'd be refreshing. People would say, oh, man, I didn't expect this. And I think it would actually get coverage. When you're running for state house and you make a deal with your opponent not to go negative on each other, that doesn't make the news. See, if a couple statewide official candidates do that, I think it does make the news, and I think it would be much more impactful. So those are the reasons I chose to do it publicly this time.
We're joined by Andrew Sorrell here on the program. He's your state auditor, running for Secretary of State. Well, how is the campaign going? I guess it's been a week or two since we last talked, but on this show, at least, the statewide offices can be a slog, but and you call it mid ballot, but you know, I guess by definition, being something that's not in the front of the center in people's minds, you've got to hustle just a little bit more than if it were a high profile office. In a way, just it's more of a maybe a name ID phenomenon.
Yeah, you've almost, you know, for these offices, you've almost got to go out and generate your own news. You know, when you're running for governor, the news media is always coming to you. They're following you around and tracking everything you say, and it's easy to get news articles. And when you're running for these more down-ballot type races, you do have to go generate more of your own coverage. But look, I'm crisscross in the state. I mean, I'll be in Baldwin County today, down in your listeners' area, and I'll be in Limestone County tomorrow. And I'll be speaking at the Madison Men's Club breakfast there in Huntsville. That was started by my friend Albert Peters, who's now deceased. There's several hundred people that go to that event. It's the largest men's club breakfast in the nation, as a matter of fact. It's huge, and they've been going on. They haven't missed a meeting in something like 40 straight years. They've done their monthly meeting. Even during COVID, they kept up their trend. So, that's going to be counties number 55 and 56 that I've done a campaign event in. I'm almost all the way through my first tour of Alabama, and my goal is to make it to every county twice, do at least two campaign events in every county. And then there's, you know, your larger counties, your Madison County, your Baldwin, Mobile, your Montgomery County, et cetera. You're going to go to those, you know, probably 10 or 20 times on the campaign trail. But I want to make it everywhere at least twice. That's my goal. On the fundraising front, things are going very, very well. Last month, I was able to raise $64,500, which is unheard of in the Secretary of State's race this early on. That's roughly double the pace that previous successful Secretary of State candidates were able to raise money. that would be Wes Allen and John Merrill, the two times that they ran. I mean, if you go look at the fundraising reports from their races, I'm nearly double the pace that they raised money at. So very, very excited about the amount of grassroots support and the amount of donor support that I'm getting as I travel around the state. It's very encouraging.
Is that the name of the game here, election integrity? Because, that's what it's been in the past. That's where the emphasis was in the last cycle with Secretary Allen. And, it kind of became that with John Merrill. Even with John Merrill, even before the 2020 election, he would get up in front of crowds, and you've probably seen him more than I have, but he would put such an emphasis on voting machines and registered voters and things of that nature.
John Merrill was in several ways ahead of his time, especially on the topic of election integrity. And in 2015, he realized that, Alabama's voter rolls were not as clean as they should be because we weren't sharing our voter lists with other states and looking for duplicates. And he began doing that. So he joined a system called ERIC, the Electronic Records Information Center. Now, later came out, about 7 or 8 years later, it came out that ERIC was founded in part by some George Soros money through the Pew Charitable Trust and whatnot. And Wes Allen made the decision when he got elected Secretary of State to withdraw us from ERIC and create his own database called the Alabama Voter Integrity Database. And it does the same thing. And I'm a supporter of the AVID system. I would continue on with what Wes Allen's chosen to do. But you got to appreciate Merrill for having the original idea and give him credit where credit's due. But Wes has partnered with 10 other states right now, and we're exchanging our voter data with them, and we're finding duplicates on our voter rolls. In fact, we found 40,000 duplicates on our voter rolls already, and we're only partnered with 10 states. Now, I have a friend who got married and moved away 5 years ago, been voting in another state, still registered in Alabama today. Because if people move out of state, unless they remember to call their local board of registrars and tell them to take them off the voter rolls, then who thinks about that when they're moving to Kentucky? Nobody, that doesn't cross your mind. And unless you use the national change of address system, which only 40% of people use that, then the other 60% we're missing. If you do use it, that information filters through to Secretary of State's office, and we know that you might have moved. But if you don't use that system, we don't have any way of knowing. The only way to catch these people is to do this AVID database that Wes is doing, which is I'm pledging to triple the number of partner states in my first term. I want to get us up to 30 partner states. And when we are exchanging voter data with 30 other states, and of course, the ultimate goal is to exchange with all other 49 states plus the District of Columbia, right? That's the ultimate. But imagine how much cleaner our voter rolls are going to get. Like I said, we've got 40,000 duplicates with 10 states. Maybe we find another 80,000 when we partner with an additional 20 states.
Well, that sounds like it's going to be part of the job here, right? It's... You're going to have to sell this new way forward, this new AVID database to other states in your role as Secretary of State.
Now, you're exactly right. It's all about relationships. You got to be a member of the National Association of Secretaries of State called NASS. And Merrill used to serve as an officer in NASS. I know Wes Allen's been very active. And you go to these NASS meetings and you meet the other Secretaries of State. Now, I know Christy Jacobson in Montana. I know Trey Hargett up in Tennessee. I know Michael Watson over in Mississippi. I'm friends with Chuck Gray in Wyoming. I'm already friends with a whole bunch of secretaries of state. I've crossed paths with them at other types of conferences like Club for Growth and whatnot in D.C. I'm already friends with quite a few secretaries of state from around the country, and including states where we are not already partnered. So Michael Watson in Mississippi, he's already partnered with West, and they've already teamed up on this AVID database thing. But the other states I mentioned, several of them we're not partnered with Wyoming. We're not partnered with Montana yet. I already have some of those connections, and you've got to sell them on the advantage for their state as well. Because not only are they going to catch duplicates, what if somebody moved from Wyoming to Alabama? I know people personally who moved from Montana to Alabama. Well, maybe they're still on the Montana voting rolls, but if we run this comparison, we can get them off. And same thing. I know people who move, ironically, from Alabama to Montana. So it's the same thing in reverse is happening. The importance of keeping your voter rolls clean cannot be overstated, because somebody could be voting in two states, or somebody could be requesting an absentee ballot in the name of somebody that they know moved and be voting their absentee ballot. So you open the door for voter fraud when you don't keep your voter rolls clean.
Yeah, and there's a lot. You have to be a lot of time and effort put into that. We'll talk about it on this. Now, it's one thing to do prevention and do it that way. But what about, I mean, just enforcement and putting, you know, strict penalties down and actually going after people who maybe would vote in two sedates. I mean, that is election fraud. And you know, there seems to be other things we could be doing there.
So that is election fraud. Now, I will note that's only been illegal in Alabama since 2019. And I was in the legislature when we passed the bill that made it illegal to vote in two states. For literally 200 years of Alabama's existence, that wasn't a law, which is just incredible. I don't know how we went that long. Maybe we didn't have any way of catching them anyway. But in 2019, Representative Chris Blackshear brought a bill that made it illegal to vote in two states, and we passed that. I proudly voted for that bill, and that's you know, been the case ever since. But you got to catch the people. And to catch the people, we need my new division of election integrity that I'm going to open in the Secretary of State's office. So we already have the elections division. This will be kind of a subset of the elections division. That's going to be a staff of four or five people who are going to work continuously to clean up the voter rolls. And they're also going to investigate all the claims of voter fraud that come in. And then we're going to have some data people who are going to be doing data analysis, trying to find people who vote in two states at once.
Well, just one more quick point. We got to wrap it up. We're a little long, but the first time I ever heard of something like this happening, not that I've been paying attention, when you had the special election 2017 with Roy Moore and Doug Jones, and you had all of these like volunteers come to Alabama to work that election, legally, they were able to vote in Alabama. And I mean, and they did. Some of them did and openly boasted about it. They had, I guess, put down roots here for at least the election cycle, maybe a month or two, and that's good enough in the eyes of the law. And he really did have a phenomenon like that where, and then they went home and presumably went back to voting in their own in their home elections. But this stuff really does happen.
Well, and the only that's only a way you can catch somebody and get them busted for that is if they vote in the same election cycle in two different states. In that situation, I think what they did was morally wrong, but it wasn't against the law. And it's a special election, so there wouldn't have been a concurrent election going on in their own state.
But you should still, if you register to vote in Alabama, then you go back to your home state. I mean, your registration should be null and void, and you should have to re-register. And I would assume that actually didn't happen.
No, because the other state had no idea that they even registered to vote in Alabama.
Yeah, well,
real shame.
So it's a real thing in some ways, and that's just kind of anecdotally what I know it to be true. Real quick, Andrew, folks want to find out more about your campaign. How can they do so?
Yeah, two ways. AndrewSorrell.com, SORRELL is how you spell my last name. And you can also find me on Facebook, Andrew Sorrell for Secretary of State.
Andrew, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks so much.
All right, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5.